Hello, and welcome to USMLE Connection, a podcast to keep you in the know about all things USMLE. My guests today are Dave Johnson, Senior Vice President for Assessment Services at Federation of State Medical Boards, and Michael Barone, Vice President of Licensure for National Board of Medical Examiners. Our topic for the day is pros and cons of numeric scoring versus pass-fail or other options. Thank you for listening. So, Mike, Dave, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
My first question is, why was USMLE created?
Well, Nicole, the USMLE was created in the early 1990s with an objective of moving us a little closer to a single national standard for competency with the medical licensing examination. This was an important development at that time through the licensing examination that really helps ultimately all physicians, in part because it helps facilitate the portability of their license once they enter practice.
What do you think are some of the reasons that numeric scoring might be the best answer?
Yeah, I'm happy to take that. Since the program has existed, as Dave said, in the 90s, we have reported a performance on a three-digit score scale, otherwise known as a numeric score. And one of the reasons that has really been accepted by people is that medical education and curricula vary so greatly across the world. We're not really only talking about the United States here, where there are standards for medical schools, but many, many international graduates take USMLE. So going back to what Dave said earlier, that standard metric or that standard assessment, the score really evolved out of this sense of trying to fit people along a continuum to say this is somebody who passed but did relatively lower on the score scale versus somebody who did relatively higher. The complexities now are in how those three-digit scores are used in residency screening and selection. And some of the critics of the three-digit score suggest that certain residency programs are really only looking at the score and not the totality of a candidate or looking at a candidate in a holistic way. So it is quite complex, and we're hoping at the INCUS conference to really dive into this and speak about it in the context of a broader system.
Dave, what are some of the reasons pass-fail might be the best answer?
Those that think the pass-fail might be an option point to a number of considerations, because USMLE's primary purpose is ultimately that of licensure, and that a licensing exam is designed to ensure at least a minimally acceptable level of competency. Consequently, it's a sort of binary decision, a pass or a fail. And so many would point to that particular element as a reason that a numeric score may not be critical to the USMLE. There is understandably and appropriately a sensitivity to our growing awareness of this issue of physician stress and burnout manifesting itself all the way down to the level of the medical student. And some would say outsized importance given to an actual numeric score in step one is producing a stressor well beyond anything anyone envisioned when the program was created in the early 1990s. One other reason I would mention is they believe that there may be a bit of a hindering effect on undergraduate medical education in terms of innovation in the curriculum. But it is one of those considerations that some critics point to as the basis for the desirability of a pass-fail rather than a numeric score on USMLE.
So thank you for sharing both some of the concerns you've heard around numeric scoring and some of the concerns you've heard around pass-fail. It makes me wonder, are there any other options beyond numeric scoring or pass-fail?
You can't see me smiling on a podcast, but I'm smiling. And the reason I'm smiling is that as Dave and I have talked about this complicated issue with so many stakeholders, medical education, medical regulation, in general, people have a solution. They have their solution. And when we look at all of those solutions for all their merits, it's a system of levers. So it's a complicated issue, and one thing tends to pull another lever, et cetera.
So how will ideas be gathered and assessed to consider pursuing any optimal changes that might minimize any new types of impact?
Well, Nicole, I think in the post-INCUS conference, what we'll need to do is have time to evaluate some of what's come out of that conference in terms of ideas for solutions or next steps. I think we'll need a chance to look at those things that appear to be potentially most promising and at the same time, hopefully least disruptive. While the current environment may not be perfect or ideal, we need to be careful that changes we would make are not going to take the status quo and somehow disrupt it in a way that makes it an even worse landscape for everyone involved. So we're going to be very cautious in how we approach some of this and yet very collaborative in terms of how we'll communicate and work with others to identify improvements that could be made.
And is it safe to say that INCUS is one aspect of input that you'll be gathering as these decisions are being made?
I'm glad you asked, Nicole. USMLE has a series of governance committees, also advisory committees. We've been working with them throughout this INCUS process. Dave and I have been engaging with them regularly. But as exploration items come out of INCUS, we'll be working with the broad group of stakeholders for some additional input, but I think it's really time to work with our governance committees to see to what extent some of these options are viable within the context of the USMLE program.
Great. Thank you both so much for joining me.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thanks, Nicole.